Just a one hara from last yesterday's shir that Matt pointed out to me. We discussed the Rav's view on cheese, Kraft cheese. So I mentioned that I heard from Rabbi Ashen that he said in Shiruz Chozer, the Rav Shechter in Pnine HaRav brings it down a little differently. He writes that the Rav once mentioned in Shir that one could be Mako, and that he was Mako. On that very same day that he said that, one of his Baal Batim called him up, or this was, I guess, at the Mariah Shir, asked him, are you allowed to have cheese of this sort? And he said, no. So one of the Talmidim in the Shir, who was also at the Mariah Shir, said, how did you say that? Weren't you just Choser? So he said, it's halacha ve'en morin kein. Since it's against the Shulchan Aruch, you can't paskin that it's mutter. So then he asked him, so how did you say it in Shir? So the Rav pointed to a Rashi in Beitza, which indicates that anyone who's going to Shir is begader a sufficiently, at least in the Rav Shir. He actually thought anyone who could knows how to learn Gemara Rashi. But anyway, anyone in the Rav Shir was at a level that you could tell them the strict halacha, and that was that it was mutter. So the way Rabbi Shechter brings it down is it doesn't sound like he was necessarily chozer. Fine. So today we're going to talk about Chamas Akum, which is on Simen Kuf Tesvav, Sif Gimel. And I guess first, before we get into the halachos, let's just describe the metzias a little bit. What is butter? So if you milk a cow and you leave the milk out, so the cream or the fat content of the milk will rise to the top. If you then take that cream and you churn it, you whip it up, basically, so then that will turn into butter. That's actually called sweet butter because it's from the sweet cream. There's another type of butter that's made from whey. But for our purposes, that's what butter is. So the question is, what is the halachic status of butter? And in theory, the question could be, is it potentially prohibited either because of chalav akum or chemas akum? So as you saw in the Rambam writes that there were some geonim that were machmir, and the reason that they were machmir was because inside the butter there were little bubbles with whey, and that whey might have non-kosher milk in it. And therefore the Rambam writes, if you were to cook the butter, or fry the butter, or the like, then it would be mutter, because whatever non-kosher component is in the butter would certainly be batel. The Rashba, as you saw in the Beis Yosef, disagrees on both accounts. He too agrees that butter is usser. However, he says that the isser remains even if it was cooked. And not only that, but he says if the Rambam was right that the isser is because of the little bubbles that have potentially non-kosher milk in it, then they would be batel even if it wasn't cooked. In other words, if the Rambam's right, so then it wouldn't even be usser uncooked. But rather, the isser for butter is a different reason, and therefore, even if cooked, it is not bata. So, basically, the Rashba says that this debate that I'm having with the Rambam really stems from our understanding of the basis of the isser gvina sakum. I think that Rambam thinks that the isser gvina sakum is because of shema mamidno sob orkevas nevela, and therefore, it's not relevant for butter. And therefore, the only potential isser is al-tzchalav, and the Rambam thinks it's not batel when hard, but batel when liquefied. And I disagree. I think that the isser is al-tzgvina. So what turns out then is we have a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba on two different levels, and we'll have to analyze both of them. Number one, there's a machlokas about gvina sakum. The Rashba says that butter is usser al-tzgvina sakum, and the Rambam says no. Basar is not asr alt vina sakum, though potentially it's asr alt chalavakum. And then there's a machlokas with respect to bittel. Nothing to do with the narrow sugyas. I mean, this is the narrow sugya of Chalav Akum, Gvina Akum is just an application of a broader machlokas, where the Rambam says that these little bubbles inside the butter are not batal when the butter is hard, and the Rashba says they are batal. So we have two machlokas in here. We have machlokas about Chalav Akum, Bishal Akum, and then we have machlokas about bito in general. So we'll consider both of those machlokas. So far we have two views on butter. Both of them are machmir. Both of them say butter is asr. Chemes Akum is asr, except for two different reasons, right? The Rambam says Chemes Akum is asr of Chalav Akum, and therefore mutter if cooked. And the Rashba says Chemes Akum is asr of Kvinas Akum, and is asr even when cooked.
What do you mean it's asr of Kvinas Akum?
I'm sorry?
What do you mean it's asr of
Well, the Rashba says, and we'll elaborate on this in just a moment. Now I'm just setting up the Shitos generally, but the Rashba says that the reason why the Rambam is the basis of the Rambam's view is because he says that the reason for Gvina Sakum is because of Shmuel, because Shema Hamidu Abor Kevus Nevela, and therefore that's not shy for butter. Why? Because butter doesn't need rennet. And therefore, butter is not bechlal gvinas akum, because according to Rambam's understanding of gvinas akum would not include butter. But I hold that the reason is, the Rashba says, there are other reasons mentioned in the Gemara. Among them, the reason of Beina Yitzvei, that maybe in the cheese, in the bubbles in the cheese, there's non-kosher milk. The second reason of the Gemara. And based off of that, so chema would be included in the broader category of gvina. Because the same reason to restrict, to prohibit gvina, that same reason would apply to butter. So that's what I mean to say, that the iser of butter, they both agree butter is usser. You can't go to the store, non-kosher store, or non-Jewish store, and buy butter. But why is it usser? The Rambam says it's included in chalav akum. The Rashba says it's included in gvina sakum. At least that's the Rashba's understanding of the Rambam. The Rambam himself doesn't say that, but that's the Rashba's interpretation.
Does the Rashba have to necessarily say that it's not batal? Meaning
he says it.
No. What I'm saying is, okay, but like, doesn't even need to, because once you're dealing with, if he thinks it's within Gvina Sakum anyway,
then the two points are two separate. They're two separate machlokes, and they're not inherently talizeb zeh. We'll elaborate. Fine. And then there is a third view on butter as well. Those that are matir. Right, the Rambam said this is the view of Mixas Gaonim as well. Rabbeinu Peretz holds this way. This is in the tea of the Rush, except for maybe the Minog. Okay, and now we'll talk about the machlokas between the Rashba and the Rambam, which we began talking about. And there's really two ways to understand this difference. They're similar to each other, but slightly different. One is the way the Rashba understood the machlokas between he and the Rambam. And the second is the way the Gra understood this machlokas. Or I should say, the way the Gra understood the machlokas between the matirin and the machmirin, let's say among the Gaonim. So let's start with the Rashba, since we more or less said it already. So again, the Rashba said that the Rambam says it's asr because of chalav akum, and that's l'shitaso, because he thinks gvinas akum isn't relevant, because gvinas akum is only shayach when there is rennet that's used. In other words, even though butter and cheese have a common denominator, that they are both chalav shehu amad, they're both solidified milk, but they're fundamentally different because cheese is defined by rennet, and this is not. So that is the way the Rambam understood it, as explained by the Rashba. And as we said, the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba says, no, it's usher because of the bubbles. And the Rashba also says that, you want to say that the bubbles should be batal when cooked? No, because remember, the Rashba quoted the Ravid. The Ravid held that in many of the reasons that are given for the prohibition against Gvinas Akum, we really have a tiny, tiny, tiny amount of iser here. And really, it should be batal. Or it should be mutter for some other reason, like suffik arlas chutz laretz, according to the opinion of Gvinas Akum, is because of sraf shel arla. Except that to prevent interactions with non-Jews and intermarriage and the like, they were choshesh even for a tiny amount. In other words, part of the takana, part of the gzeira of Venus Akam was to say that even tiny amounts, even minute amounts, which would ordinarily be bato, aren't bato. And therefore the Rashba says that even though it's true, according to the ordinary laws of bittul, then the tiny amounts of potentially non-kosher milk that are in this butter should be batel. And the Rashba, as I said, says they would be batel whether the butter is solidified or liquefied. However, that gufa is the gzeira. The gufa, the gzeira is not to worry about these tiny, is to be choshish for these trace amounts. Maybe the motivation is chasnas, but the gedder, the gzeira, is that these tiny amounts aren't batel. So that's the Rashba's view. Okay. Now, the way the Gra explains this, along similar lines, but he fleshes out a number of very fascinating points. The Gra writes that this debate about Chema is really rooted in the Machlokas, both on Lamed Hamad Aleph as well as Lamed Hayah Amad Beis. In terms of Lamed Hamad Aleph, if you remember, Rabbi Chanina said that the reason for... Now, this is Rabbi Chanina as understood by Rashi. We'll get to Tosus in a minute. But Rabbi Chanina as understood by Rashi said that the reason for Venus Akam is because of Bein Eitfi, is because these little cheese has little bubbles in it, and these little bubbles have whey in it, and in this whey might be some chalav tameh. So even though chalav tameh is not, doesn't turn into cheese, doesn't solidify, but the bubbles might have chalav tameh in it. Now that answer corresponds to the Lishna Basra on Lamed Hamad Beis. If you remember, the Gemara on Lamed Hamad Beis is the Gemara about Chalav Akam. The Gemara on Chalav Akam says, why is Chalav Akam Aser? Because maybe there's Chalav Tamei mixed in. The Gemara says, why aren't you just Maimid it? So the Gemara basically had two answers. The Lishna Kama said, you're right. If you were to be Maimid it, the cheese would be Mutter. However, you don't want it. Cheese. You want it for kuta. You want it to put your milk in coffee. And therefore, there is an isser against chalav akam. And don't tell me that if I maimid half of it and it turns into cheese, then the other half will be mutter. No, that's not a raya, because maybe the chalav tamei went out with the whey. Whey is a byproduct of cheese making. Just to, I think we mentioned this last time, but very briefly, the way cheese, milk is comprised of a number of different things. So we already mentioned that milk has fat. Now, you know, typical milk, when milked, has, let's say, 4% fat. So that's one component. Then the rest is comprised of protein, which is casein. And then there is... So when you make cheese, what you basically do is you separate the casein from the rest. Now, how do you separate casein from the whey, or what's known as the curds from the whey? So there's a couple ways to separate it. One way is through rennet. Rennet is an enzyme. We described in the previous shiurim how that enzyme is collected, whether it's from keva or asavim or artificial. But the casein causes the rennet causes the casein to separate from the whey. Right? So that's how you make cheese. Another way is to use an acid. That's known as acid-based cheeses. You put in a little bit of acid, and, right, if you ever try this, if you take some milk, you put some lemon juice into the milk as an experiment, you'll see that basically the milk separates. You'll have these, you know, globules of white stuff and, like, puffy, white, semi-solid stuff, and then some like clear whitish water, right? That's basically, again, it's a separating. So the acid causes the casein, which is what eventually makes cheese, to separate from the whey, or the curds from the whey. So it does the same thing as cheese. It does the same thing as rennet. Now the truth is that'll even happen on its own. If you leave milk out, so then, as it starts, there's bacteria in it, and the bacteria, when they produces their own acid, right, and that will cause the milk to separate. So that's why if you leave a cup of milk out overnight or longer, so then you'll see these globules of white stuff, and you'll see the whey, right? And that's because the acid on its own. So now the difference, there's two types of cheeses, very, very, to oversimplify, right? There's what we've been talking about, the rennet-based cheeses, which is getting the casein through to separate from the whey using rennet, or there are acid-based cheeses. Now, acid-based cheeses will basically form on their own, which is why you saw in a number of the poskim that say, Gvinos hanasos me'elov. What did they mean, Gvinos hanasos me'elov? That means that it causes it to separate on its own. If you just leave it around, the curds in the whey will separate from each other. Now, even within the whey, there is still protein. There's whey protein in the whey and water. Whey is known as mei chalav, and there's actually the possibility of further separating whey into its components, what's known as mei chalav and mei chalav. The halacha is... Yes?
I feel terrible interrupting.
No problem.
Is that Zev Blechler just called, and I guess he's arranged for the whole group to go meet the Boston Rebbe this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So Zev's not able to be there, but I'm going to meet you there. It's just down Beacon Street. It's 1710 Beacon Street. It's right across from the Star Market. If you're driving, you can pack the carrot in the street, but you have to put quarters in the meter. And I'll meet you right there. The front door probably will be locked in.
So maybe one of you should have each other's phone number, so that if there's any issue that comes up, you can call.
Yeah, take my cell.
What's your number?
I'm Chaim, and my cell phone is 617-953-1696.
Okay, and the address again is 1710 Beacon?
Yes, 1710 Beacon. And it's right across from the Star Market. Oh. So can you give me your cell phone number?
Yeah, sure. 410-206-1803.
And
Yoni. Yasher Koach. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
What were you saying? Ah, the different types of cheeses. Right. So that's mei chalav and mei chalav. So again,
what's mei chalav one more time?
So mei chalav is when you take the mei chalav, which is
the whey,
and you cause it to further separate. There are different ways to cause it to further separate, and that separates the protein that's within the whey from the rest of it. For example, ricotta cheese is made out of it's not actually made from the casein that's in the milk, but it's the protein that's in the whey that's separated. If you look, the Pesach Tshuva talks about ricotta cheese. That's what he's talking about.
That's mei chalav.
That's from mei chalav.
That's talking about ricotta cheese?
What the Pesach Tshuva is talking about is ricotta cheese, yeah. It's interesting. Just so you know, just derech agav, there's a shaila in the Rishonim whether mei chalav is aser or mutter. Why would mei chalav be aser? So according to some Rishonim, it's Eiver Menachai. Why? This is a deraisa. Very simple. The Torah said, really, chalav should be aser, mishamefer menachai. Or it should be yotze menachai. But there's a gzer sakasov, eretz avas chalav udvash. Some Rishonim say the gzer sakasov was said on chalav. Mei chalav isn't chalav. How do I know mei chalav isn't chalav at a deraisa level? But deraisa, if you take mei chalav, you mix it with basar. Is there basar chalav? Deraisa, no. But drabanan there is, probably. So, therefore, you see that mei chalav is in chalav. So, once mei chalav is in chalav, it's not b'chlal l'gzer sakasav of chalav, and therefore mei chalav is an issue derisa. If you ever notice, briskers, if you like, they eat a leban in Eretz Yisrael. So, you know how in leban, or in yogurts, there's that white stuff that floats to the top? That's whey, that's mei chalav. So they'll dump it out, because they're choshish for an issue derisa.
But there's still...
There's a word about the tam?
Yeah.
What about it like being... Like,
sorry?
There still might be some left in there, wouldn't
it? No, in other words, the assumption is that whatever's left, so it's not that's not whey. Anyway, I'm not saying this is a chum I advocate. I'm certainly not machmir for this.
But it's also gross, the stuff on top.
Well, I like, that's very healthy. Bodybuilders, they're always eating whey protein. Used to be everybody threw out whey. Now nobody throws out whey. They turn into everything. Anyway, there's some interesting kashrus questions that come up practically in terms of the commercial use of whey. It's also legal. Anyway, so well, you have to pay certain fines. In other words, the cheese factories used to just dump the whey into the rivers, and then So then they had to be disposed of in separate ways, which would be very expensive. So then they figured all sorts of things that they could make out of the way, which raises all sorts of interesting kashrus issues. So that's so mei mei chalav is, now some Rishonim hold that when the Gemara says that there's no basar b'chalav with mei chalav, that's not talking about mei chalav, it's mei mei chalav. It's not whey, but it's the water that's separated from the whey after the second level of separation. So anyway, that's just the mitzias. Now within soft cheeses, we're going to talk about soft cheeses shortly, but that's what we said. That's the basic, within acid-based cheeses, there's different types. There's, for example, yogurt or sour cream is just milk. It's not an acid-based cheese, truly. In other words, what you do to make yogurt is you put some culture in, and that turns the milk into this, you know, semi-solid product, or sour cream as well. Sour cream it has more cream in it, as opposed to an acid-based cheese, let's say cream cheese, where you use the acid to separate the whey from the curds, and then you take the curds and you make it into cream cheese. Anyway, so back to what we're talking about. I don't remember why we got into this.
The grah.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember. So, Lishna Basra. So, Lishna Kam and Lishna Basra. Good. So, again, what did the grah say? The grah said that Rabbi Chanina on Lamed Hamed Aleph, who said that the reason for Gvina Sakum is Aser, because Bene Itfi, because there's these little bubbles with Chalav Tameh in it. So, that corresponds to the Lishna Basra on Lamed Hamed Beis, right? Because the Lishna Basra on Lamed Hamed Beis said what? He said that even if you go ahead and you take chalav, buy some chalav akum, and you make it into cheese, that cheese is aser. Why? Because, again, beinei itfi, there's these little bubbles, and the little bubbles might have chalav tameh in it. Why? Because the little bubbles have whey, right? Again, usually when you make cheese, you put the rennet in, the rennet causes the curds and the whey to separate, you take out the curds, you squeeze them out, you turn that into cheese, and then you dump out the whey. But inside the curds might still be some little bubbles. And inside these little bubbles will be whey, right? When you squeeze out the cheese, you might have missed some bubbles. So those bubbles have whey in it. Now, in those bubbles, there might also be chalav tameh. Because even though that's true, the chalav tameh wasn't huamad, it doesn't turn into cheese, but still, there might be some chalav tameh in these bubbles. So according to Lishna Basra, that's parallel to Rabbi Chanina on Lamed Hamed Aleph, and that view corresponds to the Mikzas Gaonim Shasruha. That's what the Gra says. The Gaonim that asered butter, aser it because of Gvina Sakum, like the Rashba explained, and that's because the same chash that exists by cheese exists by butter. Namely, in those little bubbles is going to be Chalav Tameh. So the machmirim, the gaonim that were machmir for butter, are the Lishna, correspond, basically are passing like the Lishna Basra on Amud Beis and Rabbi Chanina on Lamed Hamed Aleph, like perhaps Rashi, right? We saw Rashi also passing like the Lishna Basra on Lamed Hamed Beis. Shmuel would hold of the Lishna Kama in Lamed Hamed Beis. Shmuel, who says that the reason for Gvina Zasa is because of what? Shema Mamidu no so Borkevis Nevela. So obviously he's not concerned about this. Why isn't he concerned about this? Maybe he holds that it would be batel, or maybe it just doesn't exist, or it's too far-fetched of a concern. So Shmuel, who says that the only Isser with Gvina Sakum, he's not worried about this, clearly, right? So he corresponds to the Lishna Kaman Lamed Hamed Aleph, which says that if you go ahead and you buy milk from a guy, you could make it into cheese, and the cheese is mutter. And that corresponds to the Mikzas Gaonim that were matir chalav chemas akum. Good. Therefore, the Gra says, if you follow Tosfos, so remember, Tosfos thinks that Rabbi Chanina on Lishna on Lamed Hamed Aleph has nothing to do with chalav tameh. It has to do with poison in the cheese, right? So therefore, if you learn like Tosfos, so if you buy chemas akum ehagai, it will be mutter l'kulei alma, bein Rabbi Chanina, bein Shmuel, right? Because there is no such opinion on Amud Hamed Aleph that's worried about chalav tameh beinei itfi. Why? Because any time they took the chalav, they milked the milk for the purposes of making cheese or butter, because butter and cheese are in the same, are equal here, because remember, chalav tameh is not, you can't be maimed chalav tameh, neither into butter nor into cheese. So therefore, according to Tosfos, as long as the milk was milked for the purposes of either cheese making or butter making, there's no chshash of chalav tameh. Now, for cheese, there's a separate concern, let's say the concern of Shmuel, of Orchavis Nevela, or the like, but that concern doesn't exist for butter. The male, according to Taisvis, Lekulei Alma, there should be nothing wrong with going into the Gayish store and buying butter. Ah, you'll tell me that what about the Lishna Basan Amma base? Lishna Basan Amma base isn't Shayach, because that's only a concern when the milk was milked for drinking. Right? What did the on the base we say if the milk was milked for drinking, so then there is a concern of chalav tameh. And then the Lishna Basra says maybe we should be worried about little droplets of chalav tameh mixed into the cheese, right? But if the milk was milked for buttering or for cheesing, so then there's absolutely no problem. So that is that's Rabbeinu Peretz, right? Rabbeinu Peretz learns like the Balei HaTosfos, and therefore he says butter is no problem. That's the way the Gra sets up the sugya. It's really very beautiful. All the shitos fit in very nicely. Again, like we said, a little different than the way the Rashba sets it up. Okay.
So the Rama would hold.
So if you we'll get to the Rama in just a moment in terms of what he actually holds. But that's the conceptual way that the Gra sets up the sugya. This is what everybody should hold. If depending on how you learn the Gemara on Amud Aleph, that will determine how you learn the Gemara on Amud Beis, and that will determine what your position is by Chama. Okay. Now, sometimes, as you've already seen, the way the Gra thinks the sugya should come out isn't the way that the Shitos actually end up saying it. Okay. Now. A couple of other issues before we get to the Lamaisa. So, as we mentioned, the Rambam says, Yira Li, that if you were to cook the butter, it would be mutter. Why? Because even if there are these little droplets of Chalav Tameh in it, at that point, when it's liquefied, they will certainly be batel. Now, the Lashon of the Rambam is that this is aser, that if you did it, it's mutter. Which might imply that b'dievet, if the butter was bought from an anju and then cooked, it's mutter, but might indicate that you can't do it l'chatchila. The Beis Yosef, however, says that this should be mutter even l'chatchila. Now, first, this gets into the general issue of bitulus or l'chatchila. So this is a broader sugya we're not going to do now, but just a basic hakdama. There is a machlokas rishonim, as to whether bitulus or lechatchila is an iser deraisa or an iser derabanan. The Ravid holds it's an iser deraisa. Most other Rishonim hold it's an iser. The Ravid holds it's an iser deraisa. Most other Rishonim hold it's an iser derabanan. The Rashba writes that even if you think it's not formally an iser deraisa, but it's definitely a mechuar, I think is his lashon, it's a disgusting thing to do, to go ahead and take some chazer and mix it into your thing and say, oh, it's batel, right? Now, everybody agrees, whether you hold the actual doing it as an iser deraisa, there's a knas. If somebody was mevatel l'chatchila, if they intentionally mixed in iser, or a bittel iser l'chatchila could also be causing bittel to take place in any other, a heter to be al yidei bittel, even without mixing it in iser. For example, let's say it was already mixed in, but not batel for some reason. Let's say it was l'chatchila l'yaskabed, and then you put it into a blender and caused it to get mushed up, and now it will be batel. So there's a knas. That if you're mevatel iser bekavana, so then it's not chal, and the food remains aser. That, everybody agrees, is a derabanan. The machlokas about whether bitul iser l'chatchila is deraisa derabanan is machlokas whether you're allowed to do it. But b'dievet, if it's done, everybody agrees that it's batel mederaisa and only aser mederabanan. Now, what the Beis Yosef here and the Shach talk about, we'll talk about that in one moment, but they say, well, what about over here? Maybe things should be different, because here we have only a suffik iser, right? We don't know if there's any iser here in the first place. So when you cook the butter, you're basically being mevatel iser l'chatchila. Why? Because there's a concern, again, that in the bubbles in the butter, there's some chalav tameh, and when you cook it, you cause the bittel to take place. But you don't even know if there's chalav tameh in the bubbles in the first place. So Aruch HaShulchan And Simon Tzadi Tess, which is the sugya of Bitul Issur L'Chatchila, says, well, whether you're allowed to do Bitul Issur L'Chatchila Kiyai Gavna should depend on whether you hold like the Ravid or you hold the other Rishonim. If you hold like the Ravid that Bitul Issur L'Chatchila is an Issur D'Oraisa, so then Bitul Safek Issur L'Chatchila should be Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra. If you hold like the other Rishonim that Bitul Issur L'Chatchila is only an Issur D'Rabbanan, so then we would say Safek D'Rabbanan L'Hakel, and it should be Mutter to be Mevatel L'Chatchila. Now that's not so Pashut. Because maybe we don't say you're allowed to be machnes atzmacha l'safik drabanan l'kula l'chatchila, right? But that's really what the issue here in our sugya hinges on. So we'll start with the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says over here that even though the Rambam uses a lashon that sounds like it should only be mutter b'diavad, he thinks it's even mutter l'chatchila. What's the pshat in the Rambam? So the Beis Yosef says, well, because there's sveike tuva, there are many possible reasons why this should be mutter. Number one, he writes, V'yoser nirali d'lishna d'dievet d'nakat l'avdafka d'l'chatchila namishari v'tayma mishom d'ein yadua shiyehe mevatel iser bekach d'ha. So first of all, it says ein yadua. Because fundamentally, the heter levatel l'chatchila is rooted in the uncertainty of there being any iser here. Why is it uncertainty? There's actually three sveikos. Number one, d'ha ika sveiki tu v'chada d'ilma loya kanta rov eschal of tamei klal. Maybe there's no chalav tameh here in the first place. You went, you bought the butter from the guy. Okay, you don't know if there's any camel's milk here. Maybe it's 100% cow's milk butter. Vim timtza lo marshin esarev. Aye, maybe there is some little bit of drops of chalav tameh here. Lo nishar mimenu b'chem azu klum. Yes, originally in the pot of milk that was made into butter, there might have been some chalav tameh, but who says any of that got into the butter? Maybe that all separated out with the whey. V'im timtza lomar shenishar, maybe you'll say that there was some chalav tameh that got mixed into the butter and was situated within those bubbles. Kishinis bashel nitach al yidei ha'esh. Maybe the chalav tameh disappeared by the fire. Meaning to say, if there was chalav tameh in the butter, there's two options. One is it got mixed in with the butter when it was liquefied and is batel, but that's not necessarily the case. It might have, the fire might have caused it to somehow disappear. I don't know how to explain this metzias, but there's a possibility, apparently, of fire causing things to leave the ta'aroves, and therefore, maybe that happened. And even if those three things didn't happen, then still it would be batel. So there is a sveika, even before you come onto betel, right? Maybe there was no chalav tameh in originally. And even Tim Slomer there was, maybe none of it got into the butter. But Im Tim Slomer did, maybe it was nitach ha'de'esh. The Im Tim Slomer didn't, it would still be batel in the butter. So therefore he thinks there's sveike tuva, so many sveikos, so therefore it's mutter l'chatchila. Now if you take a look at the Ravid, the Ravid also understood, like the Kesem Mishnah, that the Rambam was Matir L'chatchila. And he says, oh, come on, the Chur, Davar Zeh, to go ahead, buy butter from a guy that you think, or you're treating as though there's something Isser in here, and therefore you're refraining from eating it, and then to cook it up and mevatel it. He doesn't say it doesn't work, but he says it's Mechur. Is that related to the Ravid general Shita being more Machmir for a bit of Lissel Chatchila? Not clear. He doesn't say here that it's an Isser, not an Isser D'Raisa, nor an Isser D'Rabbanan, but he says it's Mechur. It's wrong, it's gross. There are many things in Kashrus where at least some poskim will say, even if technically speaking, based off of the rules of Yerodea, you could come up with some type of kula, but to do them l'chatchila, that's mechur. And therefore, even if it doesn't, technically speaking, fall into the restriction of bitul issur l'chatchila, but still it's mechur. The Beis Yosef says, no. The Beis Yosef says, since there is kama sveike tuva, so many sveikos, not only is it not bitul issur l'chatchila, but it's not even mechur. Now, if you take a look, the Shach also learns like this Beis Yosef, but he phrases it a little bit differently. It's Shesif Katan Chaf Ches in the Shach. Not in Simen Kuf Chaf He. And this is important. This Shaila comes up all the time, actually. We'll mention it briefly. So the Mechaber Paskes L'shitaso Gam Mutter L'vash L'chatchila says the Shach V'ein Zeke Mevatel Isser L'chatchila D'Shema Ein Kan Isser Klal. So what does he say? He just says one of the tzveikos. There's no bitul iser l'chatchila because shama in kan iser klal. Maybe there's no chalav tamei here in the first place. He doesn't make the far case, you know, kame sveike tuva of the Beis Yosef. So there are some that say, it sounds like from the shach, and there are actually two other shachs where he discusses this, that the shach might say even any safek iser, it's bitul levat lo l'chatchila. It happens to be here, yeah, maybe he would agree that ikka kame sveike tuva, but he doesn't bother explaining that. He just says, it's a safek. Then the shach continues, va'od de'en kavanasa levatel rak sheyelchu lahatzichtzuche chalav. Ah. Then the shach adds another point, which is l'chora an answer that stands independently, and that is that bitul iser l'chatchila only applies if you're mechavein levatlo, not if you're not mechavein levatlo. Now this point comes up all over the place. I'll just give you a quick mashal. Right? Anyone here had eaten raspberry jelly? So raspberry jelly, anyone here had eaten fresh raspberries? So none of you ate fresh raspberries. You did?
Yes.
Okay. Recently. So fresh raspberries are very, very hard to check, or blackberries and the like, for bugs. It's not possible. They can be prepared, but they're very, very difficult. Yeah, there are all sorts of ways. If you want to see the bugs and raspberries, go take a black piece of construction paper and open your box of raspberries and sort of dump them onto that black piece of paper and then take it off and you'll look carefully. You'll see these little white bugs walking all over the place. So anyway, so raspberries are... anytime I've done it, I've always... I only tried this once because... we once had a Shabbos guest that came to our house and brought us fresh raspberries. So I never bothered buying them because they're so hard to check. But so somebody brought it. So I opened up the book on bug checking procedures, and I did that. And I did it, and sure enough, they were there. So then we had to come up with an excuse. Anyway, the point, though, is that that raspberries are very hard to check and relatively speaking, highly infested. Now... But what about raspberry jelly, right? And not only that, you could buy raspberry jelly from not even like special kosher brands. You don't need Bodig for raspberry jelly. So what's going on? So the answer is that in the process of preparing the jelly, when you cook it and you mush it and you smush it, so all the bugs are broken up into pieces. They're not longer berries anymore. But one second, bitul iser l'chatchila. Say, okay, they're Gaiish brands. Let's say it's a Jewish brand. Could you have Jewish raspberry jelly? So the answer is, more or less, this is a machlokas, but l'maisa, you can. The reason is because you're animal chavin levatlo. You want raspberry jelly. You're not smushing up the bugs because you want to be mevatel the bugs. You're smushing up the bugs because you want to make jelly. And in the normal procedure of making jelly, that involves cooking and smushing and this and that, right? Vaharaya, even people that are not concerned about bugs, do that when they make their raspberry jelly. So if you're not mechavin levatlo, then there's no iser bitul l'chatchila. You're just following the normal procedures to making what you want to make. You want to make raspberry jelly, so this is what you're doing. This could come up also with broccoli kugel. That's crushed up or all sorts of things, right? You want to just follow, you want to make raspberry jelly. In the process, you will happen to have been mevatel isurim, but the end product is heter gamor, because the berries are all batel, so then that's mutter.
You're only making it because you know it's going to be mutter at the end.
That's true, but you're not making it with a kavana levatel, and therefore it's okay. And that's what the shach over here says. The shach says here, right, his first answer is, right, ein zek mevatel l'chatchila d'shema ein kanis or klal. And the second answer is, de'en kavanasa levatel, right? You're not cooking up the butter for the purposes of being mevatel. I mean, if you are, you are. But he's saying, it's mutter to be mevashel butter because you want to be mevashel butter for whatever reason. You want to fry an egg, right? And you want to use butter as your lubricant on your frying pan. So you're not frying the butter in order to be, you know, mevatel the tzuchei chalav that might have chalav tamei. No, it's because you want to make an egg. And this is the way you make an egg. So then it's okay. No, it's not clear. Maybe you'll say that the shach only is mako because they're both of these factors. It's always a shiloh when somebody says va'od. Does he mean this is mutter because you have this plus this? Or no? Really, these are two independent reasons. When in the sugya bitul iser l'chatchila, it sounds like the shach is mako even with just one of them. Again, not so clear in terms of the safek. There might be steers in the shach. If you take a look at the Prima Gadim, he talks about it barichos. The Taz himself says you should only rely on this leniency of Eina Mechavin Levatel if there's no other way to do it. Meaning, say, if you could make raspberry jelly not no other way, but it's very difficult without it. If you can make, if there was an easy way to get the bugs out of the raspberries before making the jelly, then you should. It's only, but since there is no easy way to get the raspberries out of the jelly, out of the bugs out of the raspberries, then it's okay to make the jelly and rely on the fact that there was bittel, because you're not mechavin lebatel.
Well, that's why. I mean, if you choose one way versus the other, then you're mechavin lebatel. No?
Maybe that's the svara of the Rashba. Some achronim say that's exactly the svara of the Rashba. It doesn't have to be that's the svara, but that might be. Good. And in terms of the Raivitz question, kamen lechuar davar zeh, so that's where the Beis Yosef says that it's en kavanasa levatel, right? And therefore it's okay. In other words, there's two potential iser. One is the formal iser issue here. Two potential issues. Number one is the formal issue of bittul iser lechatchila, and that, at least the Beis Yosef thinks, you get rid of by kama svei ketuva, or maybe even one safek according to Shach. And then there's the second question of kama mechura davar zeh, to which the answer is, it's not mechura because I'm not mechavin levatel. It's only mechura when your kavana is levatel. Okay. If you take a look at the Taz Sifkat Yud Beis, he sounds like in a Hanami, he agrees with the Rash, with the Raivid, and in a Hanami you shouldn't do this lechatchila, and like the simple reading of the Lashon of the Rambam, which is that this is, the Rambam doesn't say it's mutter to do this lechatchila, it's mutter if it was already done. Maybe this reflects the Taz's shita that you shouldn't rely on, if you can't avoid it, you shouldn't rely on Eino Mechavin Levatlo, even if that's a heter. Okay. The next topic, again, before we get to the Lisa, is the other point in the Rashba. What was the other point in the Rashba? Again, we said this fundamental machlokas about Bittel, just to recall, and then I think it's kedai even to read it inside, at least these couple of lines. The Rambam wrote that the reason why butter, at least hardened butter, is aser is because the tzachtzuche chalav, the bubbles that have some chalav tameh in it, and the Rashba said to him, if that was the issue, then I think that would be batel, right? So there's a machlokas about batel here. So we'll start from vatam. Vatam shekasav be'iser hachama. So you see, if you're following in the base in the in terms of Ayis Arach. And if you're following it in the Beis Yosef, it's if on your version it's page Lamed Gimel. It's several lines into the Dibur HaMaschil VaRashba Kasav. Vatam shekasav v'isra chema mepnei shakum shebechema enum urav im hachema shivatol b'miyuto enum ochover klal shabitol b'rov be'alma enum mitzad shehamiyut misarev b'rov sheharei Chitim shel truma shenaflu l'toch achulin, sheogrogros shel truma shenaflu l'toch achulin, af al pi, sheze omid b'fnei atzmo, v'ze omid b'fnei atzmo, petelin b'shiuran, shekol she'en atayacho livor davar mitoch davar, ilu hayisa oser harov m'pnei hamiyot, nimtza she'en hamiyot batal, elalach belach, kigon, yayin, o shaman, o kiyotzi b'ze. The Rashba seems to be accusing the Rambam of claiming that the only time you ever have bittel is lach belach. In other words, the Rashba here writes, look, we see that even discrete units are capable of becoming, of being nisbatel. For example, grogros or chitin of truma mixed with chulin, we find bittel. Now, in those cases of grogros shel truma mixed with grogros shel chulin, so each unit is discrete. The iser grogeres is omed bifnei atzmo. It's simply unidentifiable. So the Rashba says, you see from here that the yesod of bittel is that anything that can't be identified is not batel. But he doesn't say that. That's what I would have said. Instead, he says, Shekol she'en ata yachol livur davar mitoch davar, it's batal. What does he sound like he's saying? He's saying any time you cannot isolate and remove the davar iser, it's batal. Kol she'en ata yachol livur davar. Why is it that these discrete units are batal? Because they can't be removed. Now, why can't they be removed? Because you can't identify them. But what's the ikar factor? Is it that they can't be identified or that they can't be removed? So the Rashba here seems to be stressing that the primary factor is that they can't be removed. And therefore, the Rashba says, any time you can't remove the Isser, it's batel. V'gdolo mizu amru, b'shtei kupos, b'shtei ayaros, shemitzdarfos, umalos ha'isser. We see that even if you have Isser mixed with heter, in two different cities, it's shayach betel. Meaning to say here, the Rashba is making a very big, important distinction between what I would call a natural taroves and a das-created taroves, or an artificial taroves. Lach belach is a natural taroves. What does that mean? To say that the metzias is that the isser is mixed in with the heter. Right? If I go ahead and I have yayin shel isser that gets mixed in with the yayin shel heter, it's all yayin. It's all the same. The taroves is a metzias. There's a physical taroves. Or that's true also not just for lach balach, but for isser balua. What's balua? Meaning to say some tam shel isser gets mixed into to something that's mutter. Right? Like I use treif kalim to cook my kosher food. That is a natural taroves. Then we have yavish biyavish. Yavish biyavish is not a natural taroves. The taroves emerges only because of my yediyah. Lemashal. I have three pieces of meat in front of me. And I know that the two on the right are kosher and the one on the left isn't kosher. So there's no taroves here. Then I go upstairs, brush my teeth, I come back down. Oy vey, which was the one that was kosher? Which one isn't kosher? I don't remember. Now all of a sudden I have a taroves. And all three are mutter. Right? But that's not that the metzias changed. They're not uravin b'metzias. They're simply, I forgot which is kosher and which isn't kosher. So that's a das-created taroves. And that's what the Rashi says. Ad kedei kach, that you could have three different pieces of meat in three different cities and have a taroves. Because I have three pieces of meat in St. Louis, in Nebraska, and in Cleveland. And I happen to forget which one is kosher and which one isn't. If I know two are kosher, then all three are mutter. Bittel, right? There's no metzias taroves. The taroves is simply a reflection of my das. And if I were to wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, I remember the one in Cleveland is the one that's treif, so then it goes back, right? No metzias has changed. So the Rashba says, you see from here, that clearly the nature of bittel has nothing to do with the metzias of bittel, but rather relates to yedia. Oh. And then he continues, aval b'chema have iser nikar, dehainu hakum ela she'i efshar liver oso ulasalkel menachema ulafikach. Sorry, I skipped something. I'm sorry. Kol shekain bekum dechema. So certainly in the case of chema, this is going to be mutter. Now, the question is, what's the Rambam going to respond to this? You see, the Rashba basically says, according to you, Rambam, there should be no such thing as bittel yavish biyavish, right? Now, obviously, the Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam thinks that there is bittel yavish biyavish. So what's the gather in the machlokas? What would the Rambam respond to the Rashba's challenge? So essentially, there's two ways to read it. There's one way in which we could say that they weren't talking to each other. They were talking past each other. The Rashba said this is like, you know, you Rambam, you think that this is batel. That's because you think that any time the Isser is in a discrete unit, like in a bubble, it's not batel. What do you mean? Every Yavish B'Yavish is batel. And the Rambam would say, no, you didn't understand what I'm saying. I meant to say that the reason why these bubbles with the Chalav Tameh in it aren't batel is not because they're discrete, and I think that there's no such thing as bittel for discrete units. Of course I think there's bittel for discrete units. I agree to bittel yavish b'yavish. Rather, the reason why I think it's mutter is for a different reason. It's because they're identifiable. I could see these bubbles. I cut open my butter, and I see little bubbles. And in these bubbles might be a little bit of liquid. And in this liquid might be whey, from kosher, or it might be some chalav tamayin. So they're identifiable. It's not like the case of bittel yavish b'yavish. Every case of bittel yavish b'yavish, the isser isn't identifiable. Here, avada, the isser is identifiable. So one way to understand this machlokas between the Rashba and the Rambam is that they're simply talking past each other. The Rambam says the reason why it's not bottle is because it's identifiable. And the Rashba says the reason why it would be bottle is because he thinks it's unidentifiable. That's one possibility. And to some degree, the Lashon implies that, because the fact that the Rashba thought he had a kasha from the, on the Rambam from every case of Yavish B'Yavish indicates that he understood that this should be no different than Yavish B'Yavish. However, the Taz understands that this is not the case. The Taz understood that the Rambam and the Rashba were talking to each other. Or at least the Rashba was talking to the Rambam. The Rashba certainly understood what the Rambam meant. And he understood and agreed that the Rambam prohibited this because the Isser was identifiable. So why then did the Rambam Aser and the Rashba Matir? Because they're arguing about a fundamental point. Let's say you have a Taroves where the Isser is identifiable but not removable. If you remember, the Rashba focused on that line. He said the reason why there's Bittel in Yavish B'Yavish is because Kol She'ein Ata Yachol Livror HaDavar Shel Isur. So their argument is the following. What is necessary to say Bittel? The Rashba says any time you can't remove the Isser, then there's Bittel. And over here, sorry, that was the Rambam. The Rambam says any time you can't remove the Isser, Rashba says any time you can't remove the Isser, there's Bittel. Why is it that there's Bittel in every case of Yavish B'Yavish? Because you can't remove the Isser. It's true, it happens to be you can't remove it because it's unidentifiable. But fundamentally, what creates a taroves is the inability to remove the Isser. That's the definition of a taroves. Anytime you have a taroves, you have Bittel. So what makes a taroves is the inability to remove the Isser. And therefore, in the case of butter, if the concern was these little bubbles, right, and the little bubbles have chalav tamei in them, well, you can't remove them. Right? Ever try, just imagine, right? A stick of butter is pretty soft. So let's say there's these little bubbles right in them. So you cut it to try to cut it out. So when you cut it, it disappears. Boom. Right? It's like, it's very soft and mushy. You can't remove the isser. You see it. You see these bubbles. But try to take them out, impossible. So therefore, the Rashba says there's bittel. Because the definition of bittel, or the definition of a taroves, is that anytime the isser is not removable, then there's bittel. And the Rambam says, no, I don't care that you can't remove it. If the Isser is identifiable, there's no Taroves. A Taroves means that you can't identify the Isser. Here, where you can identify the Isser, you just can't remove it for technical reasons, so there's no Bittel. And therefore, the Rambam says, Chem is Asur Mishum Kach. But if you were to cook it, then it would be Mutter, because then it's not identifiable anymore, because the whole thing is a liquid. It turns into Lach Balach. So that is the machlokas. Now the Taz goes ahead. That's what he says over here. And he actually expands upon this a little bit earlier in Hilchos Taroves, Siman Kuf Dalet. There's a Gemara that talks about a mouse that gets mixed into beer or other things. And there's a discussion, is it Nosin Tamash Gam or Nosin Tamash Shvach? And
what happens?
A mouse.
Like, it falls into the beer.
Falls into your beer.
And you don't see it.
Well, you'll hear in a second. Nafal, im nafal yayin v'shemen o l'shar mashkin, if the mouse falls, so then it's pogim. But what about if it's nafal to other things? So then it's a suffix whether it's pogim. And v'yesh l'sapik shem ha'achbar ha'yesh. So there's some type of bittel. Now, I'm not going to go into the details. This is the whole sugya in Gemara about imritute, imritat, and it's a very complicated sugya. I'm going to isolate from you what's relevant to us. So basically, you have a situation. So the Rishonim will ask, why don't you just filter out the beer from the mouse? Right? The mouse got broken up into pieces, let's say. Okay. But just filter it, so then you'll be able to drink your beer, assuming there's shishim. So you don't have to worry about the tam, and in terms of the pieces, so just filter it out. The answer is, no, this is thick beer. So you can't just strain it through a filter because there's all sorts of other clumps of other things when you buy a beer tonight.
Am I allowed to buy a beer tonight?
Well, that's tonight. This afternoon, Shir. We'll talk about whether you're allowed to buy a beer at the game tonight. But assuming for a moment that you are allowed to.
An arm in the...
So, right. So you'll keep this in mind. Wasn't one of the Balabatam earlier telling you to read that book about the limbs in the food? I don't even remember. Okay, good.
So many people have come through and told us different things.
Okay. Anyhow. So that's the Shaila. The Torah says that it's Aser. And the Taz understands here that the Torah says it's Aser is because even though you can't remove it, because you can't filter it, because there are other globulates, but you could see it, right? So you have here a situation of something that's identifiable but not removable. So the Taz says, this should be totally in a machlokas Rashba Rambam. In the case we have beer with, or any type of food, you have vegetable soup, right? Vegetable soup with, so let's say some bugs fly into vegetable soup. So now you're in trouble, right? So if they're whole bugs, then it's a problem because it's a beer, it doesn't help, there's nothing to talk about. Let's say they're pieces of bugs, right? Pieces of a mouse, whatever it is. So you can't strain your vegetable soup because there's all sorts of clumps, but you could see them. If you looked at the bug, you would see this is a bug. So now, the Taz says, this should be tali in our sugya. According to the Rashba, it should be mutter to drink the beer, and according to the Rambam, it should be aser, because you have something that's iser that's identifiable but not removable. The problem is, then there's a steer in the Rashba. So that's the Taz's question. We're in Simen Kuf Dalad, Taz Sifkatan Aleph. So, it's a very long Taz. I'll just read to you from the end, towards the end. V'hainu perusho d'imritute imritat, she'amru b'gemara. V'ein kan chiluk ba'olam, b'ein sheretz l'shar yisurim, like Rashi says, elashiyish adayin l'hakshos, l'harash b'shekasav b'isarachema, she'nasan arambam, hatam, mishum she'ena kum izbatel b'chema, she'enu me'urav ba she'yisbatel b'miyuto v'ikshal af harashba k'mo she'natek b'simen kuf tesvav because of a love. See, it's very good we're learning Chemisakam before we're learning Hilchos Tarofes, because people skip the end of this Taz, and that's because they didn't learn Chemisakam. So, because of a love she'af al pi she'enu me'urav batel b'miyuto, that the Rashba held that even though it's not me'urav, the kum in the chema, it's batel b'miyuto. Imkade, ma'ishna kan ba'achbar she'enu misbatel b'shecher b'chometz. Daha, gam sham b'kum she'b'chema makiro, v'avilach b'yavesh, umisbatel kevan she'en en yachol afrisho. V'gabe achbar nami, d'lo have yachol afrisho, v'have yavesh b'lach li'batel. In other words, what the Taz says is the case of the achbar and the case of the chema are identical. They're what the Rashba called lach b'yavesh, or yavesh b'lach. What does that mean? Usually we talk about two types of tarovas, yavesh b'yavesh and lach b'lach. Lach b'lach, like we said, is the natural tarovas. It includes balua. Yavesh b'yavesh is the artificial tarovas that stems from your inability to discern the yisur. Those are pashat. But here we have this case of yavesh b'lach, which means basically that it's identifiable but not removable. So if that's a machlokas Rashba and Rambam, well, doesn't the sugya of Imritute Imritat show that the Rashba's wrong and the Rambam's right? V'nira li de be'achbar yeshlocha shema yochal chatichas ha'iser b'fnei atzma. There's a new concern, which is maybe when you're drinking your beer, you'll like swallow your beer, you'll have this little thing in your mouth that's left, and you'll eat it on its own. And therefore, Bishlam yavish biyavish nefach leheter mikoach harov. When it comes to bitl yavish biyavish, even if one of the things is aser and I eat it on its own, that's no problem because it's nefach leheter. But you can't say nefach leheter over here, even according to the Rashba. The Rashba says there's bitl, but there's no nefach leheter because you can't have nefach leheter if it's identifiable as iser. So therefore, what? So therefore, it remains aser, except it's mutter b'tarayves. But since there's a possibility of eating it on its own, because when you swallow your beer, the mouse is going to be left in your mouth in its own, so it's aser. It's only by Yavish B'Yavish that we have Nefach Isser Leheter Degzer Sarkasov. Umishim Hachi Mutter B'Dagon B'Dagon. Aval B'Zeh Ein Ha'Isser Nefach Leheter. El Atam B'Chema D'Mahani Bittel. So why is the Rashba not concerned about it in terms of Chema? Mishum T'Yev Shal Afishal Isser. And any time you have it, you'll always have rove. In other words, you're not going to eat this little bubble on its own, right? What are you going to do? You're going to take the butter and spread it on toast or put it on your potato or whatever it is. You're never going to just eat this bubble on its own. So basically, what the Taz says is like this. Again, there's a machlokas, a fundamental machlokas in terms of all of bittel that comes up here in the Sugya of Chama. According to Rambam, the definition of a tarovis is that any time the Isser is unidentifiable, it's batel b'rov. According to the Rashba, the definition is any time the Isser is irremovable, it's batel b'rov. However, it's batel but not nefach leheter, and therefore only mutter when eaten together with rov heter. And therefore, if you have something that's non-removable, identifiable, and there's a possibility you'll eat it on its own without rov heter, so b'meil, it's aser, and that's why imrituta imritat is aser. But chema would be mutter if the Rambam was right. Just the Rambam was wrong, and there's a different problem. Okay, Gevaldik. This is, as I said, it's a gem in the middle of our sugya in terms of the nature of bittel. Okay. Two more points within the Beis Yosef, going back to our sugya of Chalav Akum from the beginning of this man. So the Beis Yosef quotes a Magid Mishnah. It's on, again, if you're following here, it's on page Lamed Gimel on the left column. So what's the halacha in the following? Right, we talked about going ahead, and according to the Rambam, if you buy Chemas Akum, but you cook it up, so then it's mutter. So he says like this, what about the following? You buy Chalav Akum, v'asa mimenu gvina, and then you make it into cheese. So let's say we're choshish for the Lishna Basra that the cheese is aser, right? Why? Because of what? Chalav b'nei itfe, right? But then you cook the cheese, right? You make the cheese into, you put it on pizza. So anyone ever see bubbles in the cheese on pizza? No, right? When cheese is cooked, like butter is cooked, so the bubbles disappear. So what's the halacha? So says the Magen Mishnah, L'charit should be mutter. Eshel das Rabbeinu she'e mutter. V'hu das Rabbeinu. And he brings a riot to this from the Tosefta. So what does the Magen Mishnah say? According to the Magen Mishnah, you buy Chalav Akum, right? Right? Chalav Akum, Amish Chalav Akum. Okay, good. And you go ahead and you make it into cheese. And then you cook the cheese. What's the din? Is the cheese mutter? Yes. Who is that like? The Chassam Sofer or a non-Chassam Sofer? Not like the Chassam Sofer. Foolish, right, that's Chassam Sofer. Ah! So what's Chassam Sofer going to say? Chassam Sofer is troubled by this. So he comes up with a chiddush. He says, yeah, you know what the Pshat of Magen Mishnah is? It's ishtani. That ishtani. This is cheese, it's not milk. Yes, it's true. Chalav Akum is a chefta shelisser. It's asa liyo lamvad, even if I know with certainty there's no chalav tameh here. But just like L'mashal Ma'adav Adomeh, there's a famous machlokas Rishonim. If you have an Isser D'Oraisa that's transformed into something else, Isser Shenishtana, famous machlokas Ramah and Rush about Musk, right? You remember this? Brachos? No? All right. Bekitzur Nimratz, now it's not the time to get into it. This is also one of the major questions in industrial kashrus, comes up all the time.
What's Musk?
So that's a part of the question. But musk, for now, we're going to say, comes from non-kosher animals or the blood of a kosher animal. And it's like musk, like people use it for perfume, right? Mm-hmm. And you could even eat it, apparently. So the Talmidei Rebbeinu Yonan Brachos, quote the Yad Ramah, it's going on in Sugya that the Gemara talks about the bracha on musk. You make a boy named Samim. But to get into the kashrus issues of musk, and the Ramah says it's mutter. Why? It comes from Isser. It's Nishtana. Whatever was Aser, it's turned into something else. And when something turns into something else, it's Mutter. And he says, I'll bring you a Raya. Look, when you go ahead and you have honey. So honey has all sorts of bees' legs and pieces of bees floating around in the honey, right? And then you wait like a week and they disappear. What's the pshat? And then it's Mutter to eat the honey. Why? Because the bees transformed into honey. They were Nishtana. When Isser is Nishtana into something else, it's Mutter. Paka Yisuro. It's only Aser in its original form, and not in its transformed form. The Rush disagrees with this. He says, Raya, so tzarech raya. The raya brought from honey is a bad raya. I don't know whose baby honey would be aser b'chi agavna. And Musk, fine. Machlo, famous Machlo, we've shown him. There's an interesting one in Avraham about it. He talks about why is this different than Yosef and Atame Tame. Right? We know if something Tame produces something, it's Tame as well. We don't say it's Nishtane, right? The urine of a donkey or the chal of a gamal. So maybe it's different. Maybe Yotzim, there's a famous Reb Chaim about that. Yotzim and Atame is different than a transformed thing. Anyway, not our issue. The point is, that's what the Chassam Sofer has to say to be Miyash and Magen Mishnah. That, yes, what did they do? They said chal of akam is aser to nisar chetz, even if you know that there's no davar Tame here b'vados. Okay, but what was this? This is cheese. So you turn the chalav into cheese, it's something else. And Mimela, once you go, and it's Gvinas Yisrael, because the Jew transformed it into cheese. So the Jew bought chalav tamei, turned it into cheese, and then, now there's still a problem with Bene Itfi, melts the cheese, now it's mutter, transformed. That's the way the Chassam Sofer gets out of the Raya from the Magen Mishnah. Oh, now later on in this Beis Yosef, you see Lachara Raya Meforsh to the Chassam Sofer. The cast of Mishnah and the Beis Yosef disagree with this Magen Mishnah, and he says, no, avadanat. Hachanami chalav shel gayim gazru ala v'asru stam mishum chash tarei v'schalav tameh b'chol gavna asru ala lakol mehem. No! When they asked chalav tameh, they said it's a vada yisr. V'achlu b'shum inyan. And they asked it across the board. Afil asas m'yanu gvina ochema ulevashlam ad shiyehe tzichtzuche chalav shebahem de lo plug rabbanim zeirasim. It's a low plug. Low plug across the board is asr. When did the Rambam say it's mutter? The Rambam said if you buy chema from them and then you cook it, it's mutter. But if you buy challah from them and make it into chema and cook it, it's aser. Or if you buy challah from them and make it into gvina and then cook it, it's aser. Why? There's no challah of tameh in here. Who cares? Low plug. So the Chassam Sofer brings this as a raya, l'shitaso. Pashtus as it is a raya, l'shitaso, as we mentioned. So anyway, I just wanted to bring us back to our first sugya. Started with this, almost ending with it. You see, in this Beis Yosef itself, there are rayos lekan ulekan on that very basic question of chalav akum. Oh. So, how do we paskin? On the Shaila, the Chachma Sadim is Mekel by Chema. He writes the Minagis to be Mekel. If you remember, just again, going back to Chalav Akum for a second, we mentioned a machlokes between the Chazon Ish and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank about powdered milk. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was mekel. He said, since Lemaiso, the minig is to be mekel for Chemas Akum, so what's the idea? The idea is that when they ask for Chalav Akum, the Isser is, even if you're machmir, right, you follow the view of the Chassam Sofer, that Chalav Akum is Asr even if there's no practical concern that there's Chalav Tamei mixed in. But that's only if it's chalav. If you acquire it in a different state, like chema, it's okay. So too, powdered milk isn't milk. And therefore, if you buy powdered milk from a guy, it's mutter. Again, assuming practically speaking, there's no concern of davar tame being here. So just like we're mekel by chema, we could be mekel by powdered milk.
Why is it? We don't say isr b'lehechanachol if the... No, the issue is,
yes, correct. Otherwise, how do you explain why you're allowed to buy the chema from the guy?
Right, so we say that it's not nikvah ve'isr until it comes
the
to the
Jew. The issue is chal when the Jew buys it, correct. Even if you follow the Chassam Sofer, correct. That's exactly what that Kesem Mishnah we just read was saying, right? So he's saying, so that's his logic for powdered milk. Right, as I said, this is very important. Many people that are makbid on chal of Yisrael or mekel on chema, on avkas chal for this reason, right? So they start knowing, like, Hershey's uses real milk, and Nestle's uses powdered milk, and this and that. I don't remember all the details. But a lot of products, especially industrial products, use powdered milk, especially in Eretz Yisrael, where milk is so expensive, they just ship in powdered milk from other countries where it's cheaper. It's very expensive to ship milk. There's huge disparities in terms of the price of milk in different countries in the world. Shipping milk is very expensive, because it has to be kept fresh, but shipping powdered milk is cheap. So lots of products, especially in Israel. So Rabbanut, though they're makbid, for example, on chalav akum, right? If you buy a Rabbanut hechsher, they're not makbid on avkas chalav. They follow the view of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. They also make on chemas akum. Only mahadrin is machmir. So that is a question. Now the Chazon Ish, as we mentioned, disagrees with this on two levels. Number one, he says, no, that powdered milk is just milk. It's not like chema. It just it's dehydrated. It's but who says that's a significant enough transformation? Maybe the transformation between milk and butter is much more different. It's a new thing. Originally it was milk, now it's butter. Mashain kain, powdered milk, it's the same thing, it's just milk that's dehydrated. Okay, you could hear both stadim. Then he says another thing. He says, no, this is not like chema. The tzad to be makel for chema is because chema by definition can't have chalav tamei in it, right? Why? Because chalav tamei eino maimid. Mashain kain, powdered milk, you could turn any milk into powdered milk. You could turn camel's milk into powdered milk. So the act of powdering it, rehydrating it, whatever it is, doesn't change anything. Okay, so I just want to go back to that because now we'll have a better appreciation of the machlokas that we saw earlier.
It doesn't change anything. That means that it's still including the original zero?
Yes. In other words, the only reason, the only tzad that chema is going to be different is because by definition chema can't have chalav tameh, and therefore chema is not included in the original zera, right? And therefore, if you got rid of the bein yitfi problem, so you would have solved the problem. Masha'in Kain over here, where you haven't, there's no difference vis-a-vis Chalav Tameh between Chalav and Afkas Chalav. Okay. Just one Taicha Arenataz, just so you know what he's talking about in terms of the Metzius. At the Taz at the end, he writes, Now Yeshua Filu Yeshua Hacker. Because Reis Yosef shows him that Misha Avar Vehemet Chalav Bechalav Chamutz Shelgai Velaka Chalav Zeh Vehemet Bo Chalav Vehemet Bo Acher. So it's much after three times. So just so you know what it means, Reis Yosef also says this. So I'll tell you, when we used to go to Israel when I was a kid, so my family loves Lebanon. Now, at least in the olden days when I was a kid, you couldn't get Lebanon in America, at least in Silver Spring. So what would we do? We would bring back a cup of leaven from Israel, and we would take it, and you put a cup of milk, plain cup of milk, you put a little bit of the leaven in, you put it on top of the refrigerator overnight where it's warm, and in the morning you'll have fresh leaven, right? Because all it is, this is like we said, this is simply the bacteria from the leaven makes new leaven, so you just need to leave it out. It's just milk. So the question is like this. Let's say you use, that's what the Taz says. Let's say you have a Gaish culture, right? You bought Levinakum. And now you went ahead and you made Jewish Leban. So how many times do we say that does the original Levinakum remain here? And, or at what point would we say, no, it's totally replaced and transferred? So he says, if you do it three times, so if I start off with Levinakum, and I put a drop of Levinakum into my milk, and I make new leaven. And I take a drop of that and put it into another milk and make new one. After three times, we assume that whatever was originally there is gone. That's what the that's what he's talking about. Okay, now the final thing we're going to talk about is cottage cheese, cream cheese, yogurt, sour cream, and the like. So what's the halacha, right? Does that have the din of Gminas Akum or not? You'll see, for example, until recently when they started having... Polio string cheese, right? Polio string cheese is what, like we said, polio string cheese is a new thing. It's chalav akum, or stam chalav, plus gvinas akum, right? Miller used to be like that also. It still is. But so that's what it is. Now, but that's very rare, because that requires a lot of supervision. Well, what about OUD... cream cheese, sour cream, cottage cheese, or cottage cheese, farmer cheese. What are those? They are not gvinas akum, right? So what? Why should that be mutter? Why should that be mutter? So this is the famous machlokas about whether soft cheese, or to be precise, acid-based cheeses are bechlal the iser of gvinas akum. If you think acid-based cheeses are bechlal the iser of gvinas akum, so then, OUD cream cheese is usser, right? It's usser. It's like Kraft hard cheese, mamish usser. But if you think that acid-based cheeses are not bechlal gvinas akum, so it'd be mutter, right? If you're makel like Rav Moshe on chalav companies, so then cream cheese with an OUD is going to be mutter. So what does this depend on? So what this depends on is the following. This is very similar to the machlokas we've seen about chama, right? If you learn like the Rambam. Meaning to say, if you learn like the Rashba, there's nothing to talk about. Let's say you learn like the Rambam. And let's say you're makel by chama. And why are you makel by chama? What's the logic? Why is chama not aser alts? Why is chama not aser alts gvinas akum? What would the Rambam tell you? Because it's not gvina. Why? Because they're not maimed oso with rennet. In other words, the Rambam would tell you that the only things that are aser because of gvina sakum are aser because of Shmuel's reason. Maimed oso barkevas nevela. So it's true, it's a low plug, and it applies even if hemiduha basavim, but still, it's only aser if it has rennet in it. So if you have chema, so it's true, chema is chalav, that's huamda, but you don't use rennet to make butter, so it's not bechlal the yisur gvina sakum. And therefore, as long as you get rid of the issue of chalav akum, you'd be okay. So therefore, let me say the same thing by cream cheese. The exact same thing. That is it gvina sakum? Well, do you use rennet to make cream cheese? No, so it's not gvina sakum. Elamai, maybe you should say it's chalav akum. No, we hold like Rav Moshe. There's no concern of chalav akum. So therefore, that's the tzad l'hakel. That's why the OU gives a hechsher on cream cheese, right? Because they say that there's no issue of chalav akum because of Rav Moshe, and this isn't gvina because gvina is defined as anything that you use rennet. Now, does everyone agree with this? No, this is a machlokes. There are many poskim that disagree. There's a Shevet HaLevi who tries to say that this is a machlokas between Radvaz and Fri Chadash. So what is the other tzad? The other tzad is very simple. The other tzad is that butter is different. Remember, what is butter made out of? Butter is just cream, right? It's not cheese. Cream cheese, farmer cheese, those are actually cheeses. Not sour cream, that's why it's called cream, right? But cream cheese, cottage cheese, farmer cheese, all those are cheese. What does it mean, cheese? It's the same thing. It's the casein, right? It's the protein that comes from the milk. So cream cheese is cheese. Hard cheese, rennet-based cheese, is cheese. It's the casein. And cream cheese is the casein. They're both cheeses. So maybe, yes, we would be makel for chemas akum. We'll say chemas akum is mutter. It's not bechlal gvina sakum because there's no or keva, and it's not even cheese. It's just cream. So the only shaila is alts chalav akum. Masha ein ken cottage cheese, farmer cheese, cream cheese. Those are cheeses. They're the same thing as hard cheese. It's just the casein from the milk. So what difference does it make if you extract the casein using rennet or using acid? They're still fundamentally the same. So that's the machlokas, basically. How do you define cheese, or how do you define gvina sakum? Is anything that's cheese, anything that's casein? Or, no, maybe it's only rennet-based cheese. So there are a number of poskim that are machmir l'maisa. The Chachmas Adam is machmir. The Aruch HaShulchan, there's Stiros in one place, it sounds like he's machmir. There's a tshuva from Rav Moshe that I sent you to look at. Rav Moshe, in that tshuva, explains the view of the Mekilim. He doesn't say that's his view. In the end, he says you shouldn't yell at those people that are mekel because there's a svara. We'll see in a moment, he's being miyashiv with Henkin Shita. Henkin was mekel on the shayla. And Rav Moshe says that that the reason why the mekilim hold it, this is mutter, is like we said, because to make cottage cheese, to make cream cheese, you don't use rennet, and therefore it's not bechlal the yisur of vinasako. And then Rav Moshe was asked an interesting question. He says, well, it turns out that they put, where was the Rav Moshe? Beis Kufid Zayin. So it turns out that they put a little bit of rennet into the cottage cheese.
Animal or synthetic?
Synthetic, of course. But the question is, now maybe it'll be again, bechlal gvina sakum. So why do they do it? So Rav Moshe says that they do it in order to speed up the process. In other words, the truth is you can make cottage cheese without adding anything, like we said. Acid-based cheese, you don't even need to add anything. You just like leave the milk out for a while and you'll have cottage cheese. But you want to speed it up, so they put acid in it. And then you want to speed it up even more. And so, that's the wrong one? All right, so I'm going to wrap it up. No, this is
Okay, here it is. Yordei Chilek Beisim and Memchas.
Memchas?
Memchas, 48. I'll just read you some key lines. Hine bedavar hagvina b'shem cottage cheese. Shamarti l'kvotaraso sheyesh tam l'hakel lomar shelo haisa b'chlal iser gvina hu b'zeh. Deha ikra tam hu mipnei shemamidino sub or kevas nevela. Aval, I'm skipping, imkein yesh tam gadol shiraka gvina shetzrichem l'eze hamada. Ach b'makom hamada b'or keva mamidin b'prachem. In other words, when do we say the Gvinas Isser applies? That's when they substitute prachim for keva. B'zeh pligi al ga'one narvona, the asri, mishum sheshayich b'hu ligzor mishum hamamidin b'kdava ha'oser. Aval ha'gvinas, ha'gvinos, livnos, livanos, she'en srichen lahamada minasinas eze davar. If you could create cheese, cottage cheese, without any rennet, like we said, because acid-based cheeses you could create on your own. You don't even need any intervention. And they put rennet in it. No, they just put rennet in it to speed up the process. And therefore, that doesn't change the conclusion. And therefore, he writes, it would be mutter according to the Mechilim. Now, Rev Heinemann, and this we got to, since we had 9 hours of driving the other day to the Levaya, we got to hear a bunch of shiurim from Rev David Cohn of the CRC. And if you really want to hear a lot of very good shiurim on this topic, much more thorough than the shiurim we're doing, you can listen to them on your way home. Anyway, apparently there's this new type of cheese that, or not new, I forgot what it's, I wrote it down. What's it called? Ski? School?
Skier.
Skier? Anyway.
S-K-Y-R.
Yeah, skier. So that uses rennet. It's a soft cheese. In other words, it's an acid-based cheese, but they put rennet in it. And rennet affects the quality, let's say, the taste or the like. It's not just done to speed up the process. So then you could clear, what would Rav Moshe say? Right? Because there's some effect of the rennet. It's not just that you could produce this exact same cheese without rennet, and they just happen to put in rennet because it speeds up the process. So that's an interesting shaila. What would Rav Moshe say about that? Now, so as I mentioned, most of the kashrus agencies in America, the national kashrus agencies, are Mako, like the OU. The fact that you could get cottage cheese with an OU on it or cream cheese with an OU on it is because they follow the lenient view. Who is the lenient view? So Rav Moshe sounds like he's lenient over here, but if you read it carefully, it doesn't say I'm lenient. I'm explaining the opinion that is lenient. So Rav Heinemann says that he was told by Rav Moshe to be machmir, and therefore you'll never find a star K, or even their non-Chalav Yisrael brand, whatever it is, the Dairy D.
Disconnected.
Right.
Star D.
Star D. The Star D, you won't find...
what is the Star D?
The Star Kaif is Machmed on Chalv Yisrael, but they have a affiliate, a spin-off.
They officially have no connection.
Officially have no connection, a non-affiliated affiliate, because they're websites. You know, you can get from one to the other.
Okay.
Anyway, that for those who are Mekel on Stam Chalav, so this is, they give supervision, but they won't give supervision on something like cottage cheese or cream cheese or the like, because according to Rav Moshe, it's Aser. So what does everybody else rely on? All the other kosher agencies are basically relying on Rav Henkin, who was Makel on the Shaila. Fine. Now, what are the Rayos, Lakan or Lakan? None of the poskim in discussing it actually bring Rayos. So Rav David Cohn had a Raya L'Hakel and L'Hachmir. His Raya L'Hachmir was from one of the reasons that the Gemara says for the prohibition against Gminas Akum. Remember, one of the reasons was that they use chometz, right? To make the cheese, they put in chometz, and the chometz might be stam yena. Now, you cannot make rennet-based cheese, hard cheese, with chometz. Chometz is an acid, right? So the Gemara is clearly talking about what type of cheese? Acid-based cheeses as well. Now, the Gemara doesn't start saying Ikka B'Nahu, right? Ikka B'Nahu, if you hold, like the reason is Shmuel, so then acid base is Zamrutter. If you hold the reason, it says it's because of Chomet, it's going to be Yasser. Sounds like they're all talking about the same type of Metzias, namely cheese. And cheese includes within it acid-based cheese, which is why the opinion that says it's usher because of chomates holds that the isser is like chomates. So it sounds like from the Gemara, the simple way in the Gemara, that we're talking even about acid-based cheeses. And therefore, there's a concern from chomates. What's the Raya Lahakel? From the Rama. Because the Rama said that it's mutter. Remember when we talked about the Ashkacha issue in the last year. It's mutter, Gvinas Akum is mutter if you just simply see it, if the Mashgiach watches, right? Now, if we're talking about acid-based cheese, so you could see it. I could see this is not, there's no rennet shel iser here. What's the mashgiach doing according to the Ramah? To make something Venus Yisrael, you have to mashgiach watch to make sure there's no rennet in here, right? If it's cream cheese, I see there's no rennet. So the fact that hashgacha would work shows that the concern is rennet, and you'd have to have hashgacha to make sure there's no rennet. Because if you held that cream cheese is aser, then the notion of mashgiach is ridiculous. The mashgiach isn't there just to like, look, it's not like a re'ia, you know, it's nechshar de re'ia. It's to see something. What is he to see? Seeing that there's no rennet here. But bakata cheese, cream cheese, I see there's no rennet. Okay, so those are Raya's Lakan Lakan. Now one last minor haran, and we'll finish with this. Just from our new sugya of Sheikh Harakum. So if you noticed, you'll see it relates to Venus Akum in a second. If you noticed, the Gemara asked, right, what's the halacha? Why is Sheikh Harakum Asar? So the Gemara said, according to one opinion, that it's because of Giloy. The Gemara said, what about if it's aged or the like? Then it should be mutter, right? So what did the Gemara answer? Good. Wonderful. Remember, the Gemara by Gvinas Akum had the same answer, right? One of the answers in the Gemara was that it's Aser because of, again, the snake poison. The Gemara asks, if so, Yashin should be mutter. What did the Gemara answer? Nothing. It was a pircha, right? So why don't we just give the same answer? So the Ritva asks the Shaila. And Ritva says, because that apparently, when it comes to cheese, and when it comes to beer, there's a very big difference. When it comes to beer, old beer, new beer, easily confused. When it comes to cheese, so lach and yavesh are not easily confused. Now, what does that mean? In other words, when it says chadash, it means lach. And when it says, and yashan means yavesh. So at first glance, when I thought that I said, oh, you see Uriah here, that the Ritva is machmir and cottage cheese, right? Because what does gvina lacha mean? Gvina lacha must be like acid-based cheeses, which are soft.
But you don't dry them to be, you don't let them age to become hard.
So that's what I thought he must mean. So then I thought about it more, and I think you must be right. So I think what he probably means is the following. When you make even rennet-based cheeses, so after you put in the rennet and that causes the casein to separate, it's like a sponge. And you have to squeeze out all the liquids, and then it becomes hard. And I think what he means by new cheeses is like before that's happened. So that's why they're called lach. Not because they're like lach, like cottage cheese, but they're lach because they're still full of the moisture. Now one final har, sorry, I just forgot to mention this before. Even if you're going to be machmir for soft cheeses, right? You're going to be machmir for soft cheeses like cottage cheese or cream cheese or the like, or I should say acid-based cheeses to be precise, you could still make a very strong case that something like yogurt or sour cream would be mutter. Why? Because that's just milk, right? You maybe put a culture in it or the like, but that's just milk. It's not casein. Remember, what did we say the Svar Lahachmir was for cream cheese? Because the Machmirim hold that cheese is cheese, right? So even just like if you produce the cheese, which is casein through rennet, it's going to be usher. So too, if you produce the cheese through acid, it's going to be usher. But that wouldn't apply to yogurt or to leban or to sour cream, because all those things are what? are just milk. So therefore, even if you follow the Machmir view, like we said, the Chachmas Sadam and the like, and you're going to be makbid to, you know, you might be makel on chalavakum, you follow Rav Moshe's view. So you buy milk that doesn't have a that doesn't have a hafsir on it, that isn't called Yisrael. But you're going to also follow Rav Moshe's view and many poskim's view. You're going to be machmir for cottage cheese and for cream cheese, but you could be makel for yogurt and sour cream, right? So, and chema, right? So if you know the Metzias, there's actually all sorts of different permutations of what would be a logical conclusion. Fine. So that brings us to the end of chalavakum, chemasakum, vinasakum. Before, so we're gonna break now. We'll have shir on shechar akum. Let's say 4. Is that good? Okay. So we'll say 4. I don't even think it'll be an hour. Just one other minor ha'ara, not relating to cheese or dairy issues. Somebody asked about your gift. So you bought a beautiful pitcher for your host.
I don't really know.
Well, you're and you want to know, can you be tovel it? I'll just mention it's a very fascinating shaila, which I had a ha'ara in. Somebody called me with a question relating to this yesterday, so it made me think about it. So there is the following halacha in Tvilas Kalim, Simen Kuf Chaf Sift Ches. Let's say Yisrael Kano Me'agai, a Jew buys a knife from a guy, and he decides to use it Lachtoch Klafim. He's going to use it to, not as a knife for food, but as a scissors, basically, to cut cloth. And then he lends it to another Jew. And this second Jew decides he's going to use it not for cloth, but for cutting his fruit. So the question is, does the second Jew have to do Tfilas Kalim? So the Mechaber Paskins, this is a Yesh Omer, but he seems to accept this, that it's Pater. The second Jew is Pater from Tfilas Kalim. Why? Because the owner determines the status, and he designated this as a non-clay seuda. And therefore, since this is a non-clay seuda, it's pater from tefila. And therefore, the shoel who decides to go ahead and use it as a clay seuda, he doesn't reclassify it. It's still a non-clay seuda being used for seuda, and therefore it's pater from tefila. So if the owner wanted to use it to cut fruit, it would be usser. He would need to do tefilas kalim. But if the borrower wishes to use it to cut fruit, it's mutter. If the borrower were to subsequently buy it from the original owner, he would have to be tovel kalim. Fine, that's a psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So there are those that say that based off of this, you cannot be tovel the beautiful pitcher you bought for them. Why? Because you're the current owners, correct? So klape you, what is this? Is this klei seuda? No, it's klei scharer, klei matana, right? For you, the purpose of this pitcher is to give as a gift. So therefore, if you do tefilas kalim at a time when it's fundamentally pater, so that's not a tefila that works. And therefore, if you were to be tovel the clay, and you gave it to them, they would still have to be tovel it. Now, does everyone agree with this? So first of all, the Shachan Taz quote, that there are others that disagree with the Psak of the Mechaber. They say no. Clay suda is chayev. And therefore, because if the original owner, right, remember going back to the case of the guy that bought the knife from the guy and decided to use it for cloth, and let's say he wanted to use it to cut fruit, he would have to do tefilas kalim. So in Mimela, you see it's ton tefila when it's being used for food, and therefore the person who borrows it also has to do tefilas kalim, right? So that's the view. So Shach and Taz leave it as a safek. They say you should be tovel without a bracha. So according to that view, the view cited in the Shach and Taz, the halacha would be you could be tovel it. So how do we paskin? So Rav Shechter thinks that the Mechaber's opinion doesn't make any sense, and therefore you could be tovel it. You could be tovel the kli. Others, though, among them Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, thought no. That at least it's a suffix, so you can't be tovelet. Now, again, it's not really, you could try to make, Poskim do make this argument, that this isn't the same. For you, it's also a pitcher. It is a clay suit. It's not like you designated it for a knife. It's just you're not using it because you want to give it as a gift. So there are those that make that chiluk. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, in deference to the views that are the view of the Mechaber and the argument that could be made within the view of the Mechaber that you, the current owners, for you it's not Klei Suda, so then you can't be Tovel for them. And even if you did, they would have to be Tovel again. Now, then one of you asks, so why can't we be Makne to them? Great solution, right? Okay, so Zachem Ladum Sobel Fanav, so you'll give me the pitcher, I'll pick it up, I'll be Zoche in it on behalf of the Sanderses, and then it's theirs, and now Tfilah would work, right? And we'll assume that toveling it is something that they would want you to do with it, and therefore it wouldn't be Gneva. Fine. So Shlomo Zalman Arbel says, still that doesn't work. It's an interesting chiddush, he says, because maybe they won't want it. Maybe they'll want to return it.
It's beautiful.
So beautiful, right? So it's still not Klei Suda until they decide they wanted it.
Use it.
So then I thought, so if you want to use it, so tovel it and use it, then you can. Yeah, then anyway, I think that would, so that would solve it. Now, I thought, one second, like, Mamanashach, Aviam, I think, actually asked this question, said, Mamanashach says, so why don't I tovel it if they decide to keep it, so then it was a good tefillah, and if they decide to return it, okay, good, so then it wasn't, but they'll return it, so I don't really care. So Bloomingdale's, well, it'll be their problem. So why is this a problem? So apparently, Rosh Shlomo Zalman held, I suppose, that it has to be designated. You can't say Glei Milsom Afreya that this was a Klei Suda, and therefore the tefillah works. In other words, we have to. Is it now a Klei Suda? The answer is not clear yet, because you don't know. Are they going to keep it? Are they going to return it? So since right now we don't know, basically, if it's a Klei Suda, then the tefillah is ineffective. And we don't start saying Glei Milsom Afreya since it's there and this and that. No.
And Breira? Like,
so, yeah, it's true we say Derabban by Breira. So maybe he held, no, it still doesn't, so maybe it's not the Rabban, he's saying it's glass. But maybe he thinks, no, fundamentally, since it's unclear what it is, then the Tefillah Kalim is ineffective. I don't know, I'm not sure. As I said, it's quoted, it's a letter that's printed in the Tefillah Kalim Sefer. You know that big Tefillah Kalim Sefer? So there's a letter from Shlomo Zalman that makes this point. I'm not sure. Somebody asked me, this I told you I had a question yesterday. Somebody asked me, in light of Shlomo Zalman's cheshbon, so if you're buying something from somebody from their wedding registry, you should be able to be tovel it, because you know they want it. That was the shiloh that I got yesterday. That's why, as I said, I got a shiloh yesterday that reminded me of this thing, so Lamdin. So then I thought, well, when I got married, at least, we put down all sorts of random things in a registry that we had no intention of keeping, but we didn't have time to like figure out what we actually wanted. So we picked a store that we knew we wanted things from there. We put like random things in the price ranges that we thought people would want, and then we just returned everything and got what we actually wanted. We wanted like a bigger thing. In other words, you want a set of dishes, right? But you can't ask someone to get a set of dishes. So you do a vase, and you do some cups, and you do this and that. You returned everything, you got the dishes. So we had no intention of keeping anything from our registry. So maybe if you're choshesh for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, again, Rav Shechter is Mekel, but if you're choshesh for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so then even in the wedding registry, you can't presume they want it. So I don't know if I was weird, or if that's a normal thing to do.
It's pretty hot.
It's normal.
I think it is.
It would have been a more expensive one if you're trying to get the cheaper one.
Right, whatever, yeah. So anyway, that was the Shiloh. Okay, so we'll pick up a little later.